All right, tonight we're going to continue our study back in the Old Testament and looking at heroes of the faith. And tonight we're going to examine King Solomon. We're going to be looking this evening in the book of 1 Kings chapter 3. We're going to read 3 through 15, and we're going to learn a key to kingdom greatness or kingdom success. Solomon, we know as the wisest king ever. He's one of the great kings of Israel. And tonight we're going to look at the foundation for his success. Would you stand with me as we read from the precious word of God? 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 3, we're told, "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at high places. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask, what shall I give you?' So Solomon said, 'You have shown your great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?' This speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said to him, 'Because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, or have asked riches for yourself, or have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commands, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days.' Then Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream, and he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, offered up burnt offerings, offered peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants." Again, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Ken Storm, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. As I said before, we know Solomon is one of the great kings of the Old Testament, and he had a reputation. And what was his reputation for? Wisdom. Wisdom. He was a very intelligent king, a God-blessed intelligence. And Solomon had just, in the text that we read, just before this, Solomon has been crowned king by order of his father David, who we remember David, and David has come to the point where he has grown old, and now it's Solomon's time to take over the throne. And in the text, we find what I think are some foundational truths to the great king that Solomon was. And we start, number one, with Solomon's priority. And notice I said priority, not priorities, okay? Because there was only seemed to be one thing in Solomon's life that was a priority at this point. In verse 3, it says that Solomon loved the Lord. What a statement. I thought about that. I wondered, you know, what are they going to say about me when I'm gone? After, you know, once I've gone on to heaven, will that be the comment that people make of me? It says that Solomon walked in his statutes, or walked in the statutes of his father. Literally, it meant he lived according to the law of Moses that he had, and living as God prescribed had become a major priority, or the major priority in his life. What I want you to get at this point is loving the Lord will show. Okay? And it showed in Solomon's life by the way that he lived. He lived according to the law of Moses, the precepts of God, and also by the God he sacrificed to. Now, I realize in the text it says, except he sacrificed at the high places. Now, I think that's a poor translation. That was not a shot at Solomon, saying Solomon wasn't supposed to sacrifice or that he was sacrificing to false gods. It is instead, it should read, or could read, that Solomon only sacrificed at the high places. And do you know why he only sacrificed at high places? Because they didn't have a temple. He hadn't built the temple yet. It was the only place that he had to sacrifice. So he would go to these places, and he would honor God with his sacrifices as a form of worship. Now, what I want you to get, how many people have heard someone say, "I love the Lord"? How many people did it come as news to you that they love the Lord? Absolutely. You hear that a lot. I love Jesus. But you know what? True love is visible. Okay? It's not so much what we say, it's what we do and how we live. And true love will absolutely manifest itself in your life. It shows. You know what? I love my wife. And every day there is something about my life that says to her, I love her. Why? Because I love her. Right? That's the way love works. If we love the Lord, that love will show in our lives. That love will be plain for us and for all the world to see. I dare say, if we really love the Lord, a day will not pass that does not reflect that love in some shape, form, or fashion. Okay? Now, we may not always be setting the fields ablaze, and we may not always be on a mission trip, but there's going to be something about your life every day, if you truly love the Lord, that says, God, I love you. And you're the priority in my life. In Solomon's life, that was evident. We come to Solomon and the opportunity that God laid in front of him. I've always just been infatuated with this story. As God appeared to Solomon, and he asked, and he said, "Ask what I shall give you." Do you realize what God is saying here? This is a blank check. Solomon can ask anything he wants to ask. Solomon could say, "God, I know the reason that you're giving me this opportunity is because you want to reward me because I've been such a great guy." He did. Okay? He could have asked for wealth. "Lord, I want to be the richest man in the world." That sounds good, doesn't it? "I want my family to never want for anything and never need anything. God, I want to have it stacked up so high that there's no way I can spend it all." But Solomon didn't ask that. That sounds like a pretty good prayer request, doesn't it? He could ask for a long life. He could have said, "God, I want to have a life that is so long that I surpassed the longest man who ever lived," which was Methuselah. But he didn't ask that. He didn't even ask for good health. "God, I want good health all the days of my life." He didn't ask that. He didn't ask for world power. Lord, I want an army that'll dominate the world. I want to be undefeated. I want the world to bow at my feet. He didn't ask that. Now, let me ask you something. What would you ask for? If God said, my servant, you, you put your name in there, my servant, ask me whatever you will and I'll give it. What would you ask for? Well, before you answer that, let me share John chapter 14 with you, verse 12 and 13. You know what it says? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And the greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And verse 13 says, and whatsoever ye ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. How's that different than Solomon? What Solomon laid before, or God laid before Solomon. What's the difference? There is no difference. There's not. Do you realize you have a blank check with God? Okay? Now what I want you to understand about that is I want you to read, okay, the first part of John chapter 14 there. God did not say, if you ask for a new Cadillac in my name, I'm going to give you the best model. He did not say, if you ask for the world's riches in my name, I'm going to give you wealth. You know what he's talking about? What he's talking about? Jesus, and if you read chapter 14 there, Jesus was talking about the works that he was doing. What were the works of Jesus Christ? That word work literally means employment or business. What business was Jesus Christ in? He was in the business of doing the will of his Father. Okay? And the reason that Jesus could say this is because he was trying to get across to his apostles, I'm going to bless you with anything you can selfishly ask for. No. He's saying, when you're doing the business of my Father, whatever your need is, I'm going to supply it. If you ask for it, I'm going to give it to you. There's nothing impossible with God. But he's talking about the kingdom work. He's not talking about selfishly asking for stuff. And I know, I mean, it's so famous today, or such a big deal, the name it and claim it mentality. Let me tell you something. There are some things I don't need. And God knows those things that I don't need. There are some things that would ruin me as his child, that would lessen my faith. I don't want anything that'll draw me away from God. I want things that'll point me to God. And I don't just want to be a success in the world. I want to be a kingdom success. Don't you? If you could have whatever you asked for, whatever you wanted, whatever you needed, and God says, I'll give it. What would you ask for? I think it's available to you in kingdom work. I think there's nothing that God will hold from you in accomplishing his will. So, once again, what will you ask for? Well, let's look at what Solomon asked for. In verse 6, Solomon speaking to God, and he said, God, you have shown great kindness. And that's an interesting phrase, that word kindness. The Hebrew is hesed. And it's much deeper meaning than just, Lord, you've been good to me. It's literally a covenant loyalty. It's that God has been there for Israel and for his people the whole way. And Solomon is saying, God, you have been so loyal and so good to us. In our language, he's saying, you've just been faithful, Lord, every step of the way. He said, but God, I'm a child. Now, I don't know exactly how old Solomon was at this point. He was a young man, very young man. But what he meant by that, he was a child in years, but he was also a child in experience. And do you understand the wisdom that this young man had in what he asked for from God? He's saying, Lord, I don't even know how to come out or to go in. You know what that means? Literally, I don't even know how to come into the kingdom or go out of the kingdom, let alone rule it, God. I don't know how to sit on the throne right. I don't know how to entertain people when they come before the God, I'm just a child, and I don't know how to do this thing. You know what most of us would have done? We were appointed as king. Most of us would have swelled up and said, that's right, I am the king. Not Solomon. Not Solomon. He said, God, I literally don't know what I'm doing. And God, here's the scary part, verse 8. He said, I'm in the midst of your chosen people. I'm in the midst of your chosen people. You see the gravity of Solomon's job? Solomon says, Lord, I don't have a clue. And I'm here supposed to be the leader, the governing king of your chosen people. You have entrusted me with your chosen people. You see, the great responsibility there, and he's realizing, these are not my people, these are not my subjects, these are God's people. Now I want to take a break right there. And I want all of us to stop and think just a minute. We're preparing our prayer, our request before God. God says, whatever you ask, I'm going to grant it. And we're preparing. I want you to realize the great responsibility that has been set before you. You may be a Sunday school teacher in this church. Now let me tell you, those people that sit in your Sunday school class every week, they're not just people. They're God's chosen people that God has entrusted you with. Take it seriously. Realize the gravity of the position that you're in, that God has placed you in. You may be a father or a mother, you know, and your children. Do you realize the impact of the life that you're having? Okay? Because every kid will say the same thing. I'm not going to grow up like my mom and daddy. And guess what we do? We grow up like our mom and daddy. It's funny how that works. But you know what? That's okay if mom and daddy are faithful to the Lord. Let them grow up like us. We want them to grow up like us. You may be a deacon. You may be a school teacher. You may be a worker, a day laborer. Whatever your position, I want to invite you to back up and consider where God has placed you and the gravity of that position. The people that God has placed under your influence. The people that God has entrusted to you. And you may even be a school, in school, at tech or in high school or in elementary school. But those people that God has placed around you are people that God has entrusted your influence to. Now what are you going to ask? What are you going to ask? Whatever you ask, I'll grant it. You got to... You've got to smile at Solomon's response. When this is laid at his feet, Solomon, in this vision, says, Lord, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge. You know, and what he was talking about was wisdom, but I want you to understand what he's asking for. That word understand literally means to hear and to understand. Have you ever heard but didn't understand? Have you ever listened and not heard? Okay, I'm real good at that. I think I've shared with you before, you know, you can be talking to me, and if I'm not eyes on you, and if I'm not doing this to you, I can probably be tuning you out, you know. Solomon says, I want to hear and to understand. And to put it in our language today, we'd say, Lord, help me see the big picture according to your eyes. You know what he's praying for? He's praying to have the vision that God has so that he can govern God's people. I know there are none of us in this congregation tonight who hold the position of king in our community. But wouldn't it be great if we could see our life the way God sees it? The people in our lives, if we could see life the way it really is, if we could see people the way God sees them. You know, the people you work with that get on your nerves, do you see them like God sees them? If we could understand God's desire for ourselves as well as the people in our lives, then, my friends, we could influence those people to Christ. What a prayer Solomon prayed when he said, Lord, give me an understanding heart. You know what he was praying? He's praying, God, you put me here. Lord, I want to be the best king in governing and leading your people that I can possibly be. And that's only going to happen when you give me heavenly wisdom from you. What would you ask for today? If God says, ask whatsoever you will, anything you want, what do you ask for? Well, we can kick out the name it and claim it thing. God's not here to give you your wants and whims, okay? That's not what God's about. Life's about the kingdom of God. Now, what are you going to ask for? Where has God placed you? Has He placed you as a parent? How are you going to be the best parent you can possibly be? Praying for heavenly understanding. A heart of understanding. You know, there are some times when we need to get on our kids and just correct them and give them that hand of, you will do this. Because we need to teach them to respect authority. But you know, there are times we need to approach our kids with a loving heart, saying, I know how you feel, but I just want you to know, as your parent, I love you with all my heart, and I'm going to be beside you no matter what. And you know, we have to be wise enough to know the difference of what action's right for what situation. I want to tell you, I was reminded as I was studying this message, and I was thinking, okay, Lord, this is a preacher message here. Because there's more to it. It's not about being a pastor. It's about leading, spiritually leading God's chosen people. What a responsibility. But we've all got it. Sunday school teachers and whatever position that you're in, I dare say that God has placed you where you are to make a kingdom difference. The only way we're going to make a kingdom difference is to have a godly wisdom and an understanding heart. Lord, make me the best pastor that I can possibly be so I may pastor your people. Lord, make me the best Sunday school teacher, the best deacon, the best witness, whatever, wherever God has placed you. I think the greatest request that you can make is, Lord, give me an understanding heart. Give me an understanding heart. You may be here tonight, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. My friend, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ loves you. The good news is that you don't have to go through this life alone. Jesus Christ died for you to pay your sin debt upon the cross of Calvary, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And whoever calls on the name of Jesus shall be saved. If you're not saved, God's brought you here tonight to give you eternal life And the way you get that's by calling out to Jesus and committing to Him your life and trusting Him as your personal Savior. Maybe you're here tonight and you're in that influential position, and you've been reminded because of this message or something that God has laid upon your heart, God, this is a big job. God, I don't know what I'm doing, and God, I need your help. Maybe you just need to come to the altar and spend some time saying, God, give me an understanding heart. Equip me to do your work. Maybe you're here tonight and there's another spiritual need. Whatever your need is, I would challenge you. Listen to God as He deals with your heart. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be in this service, for the opportunity to look into Your Word, and Lord, for the opportunity to learn. So often our prayers, Lord, are selfish. And we ask for things that are just our wants. And Lord, we realize tonight that it's bigger than us. Your kingdom should be our focus. Our love for You should be our goal. And Lord, with that in mind, we pray that You'd equip us with understanding hearts, that we may serve in Your kingdom to Your honor and to Your glory. Thank You, Lord, for the blessing of being in Your house this evening. In Jesus' name I pray.